Well, we're in Psalm 100 this morning. Psalm 100. And I think it's in the bulletin provided. And if not, it's in the middle of your Bible. It's in between Genesis and Revelation somewhere. So hopefully by the time I finish, you can find it. And join me in Psalm 100. And I'm going to actually read all five verses. And I'm reading from the ESV translation. Starting verse 1, it says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." Before we begin, I'm just like to open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. Thank you for the amazing weather you've blessed us with this past week. And thank you so much for the blessings that you'll be giving us this week. And we pray that we'd be able to take every single opportunity that we have to bless your name. And thank you so much for who you are and what you're going to do during this time. And be with anybody here that today that doesn't know whether or not, whether they're going to be spending eternity in heaven or not, that you would just be with them. And that before they lay their head on the pillow tonight, that they would have that down for sure. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just finished my first semester at Taylor, my second semester actually, my first year at Taylor University. And when you are in school, I'm guessing most of us here have experienced school of some sort, the professor will hand out rubric at the beginning of the year and say, "Study this rubric." Or before a test, he'll say, "Study these notes." And if you study the notes, typically you do okay. If you don't study the notes, you know, sometimes you don't do as well. And so we come to a passage today talking about worship. And worship is kind of a topic kind of talked about a lot these days. What is worship? Who can worship? If I can't sing, can I still worship? Well, the author here lays out very clearly that worship is a command. We are all commanded to worship. But why are we commanded to worship? It says in verse 5, "For the Lord is good." So I would like to suggest this morning that because Jesus is good, you must worship Him. So like I said, when I was studying that material, it helped me understand how to pass the exam. And here in Psalm 100, we find the rubric, the study material on how to worship our Savior. So let's dive right in and see what the Lord has for us this morning. First, I would like to say that we can worship in three different ways. We can worship by serving, we can worship by singing, and we can also finally worship by submitting. So let's begin off with worship by serving. Worship by serving. Verse 2, it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." In Colossians 3:23, it says, "Do everything heartily as unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness." So, not only are we supposed to serve, but it says there how we can serve. We are to serve with gladness. So often these days, I feel like worship is becoming more and more about what we are getting out of it. But instead, I really think the Bible is very clear that worship is more about what we put into it. You know, we're supposed to serve with gladness, worship with gladness. It doesn't say sing well, it doesn't say sing good. Because I don't know about you, I'd be in a lot of trouble. I can't sing well, but that's no excuse for me. I can still sing with joy, worship with joy, and serve with joy. So I would like to suggest that we have been saved to serve. We have been saved to serve. If you have your Bibles with me, we're going to be turning to a couple different passages this morning. And the first passage I invite you to turn is Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. That's in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God pre-prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I want to be very clear that here the passage is not suggesting that good works earn us our salvation. Rather, we are saved for good works. We are created to serve. Jesus' whole ministry here on earth was to minister, to serve others. And if Jesus spent his whole life here on earth to serve others, then I think we ourselves too have been called to serve and worship Jesus Christ. So we are saved to serve. Second, we are actually gifted to serve. So if you have your Bibles, we could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we're going to be turning quite a bit here. So, and then we'll tie this all back into Psalm 100 in a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll start reading verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, 'Jesus is accursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." You see, when we were saved, the Holy Spirit came inside of us, and He gives us passions, and He gives us desires to serve one another. So you're sitting here, maybe, you know what, I can't teach. Can I serve? Yes, you can still serve. Maybe you're gifted in other ways. Hospitality, you're good at cooking. You can invite people to your house and have fellowship with the believers right in your home. And that's serving God just as much as the same person who gets up on Sunday morning and preaches. And maybe you're saying, well, I can't sing, or I am not a good leader, or I just don't have good social skills. Well, here, according to this passage, if we're truly saved, God has gifted us uniquely. He has gifted you personally, uniquely, for the service of God. We can worship by serving. We are saved to serve. We are gifted to serve. Let's go back to Psalm 100. We'll see, secondly, that we can actually worship by singing. We can worship by singing. Singing is not the only way to worship, but it matters. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing." You know, singing for me is not something that I'm particularly, like I said before, I'm not particularly gifted in. It's not one of those spiritual gifts that God chose to give to me. But He has given certain people a spiritual gift of singing. And if you have that gift of singing, I really encourage you to lean into that and lead others in worship, because that's a special gift and a special talent that not everyone gets to experience. So, like I said, we're going to be turning to a different couple passages, the same here. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another." How? "In all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So here again, we see that theme of singing, but not only just singing, but singing with thankfulness and singing with a purpose. And what's that purpose? Teaching and admonishing one another. See, when you sing, according to this passage, you are obeying. It's a command. We're all called to sing. When we come to corporate worship and we have that time of singing, we all rise to sing. I really encourage you to just give it everything you have. Whether you can sing well, you can sing not so well. God's not worried about that. He's not worried about like our works. He's not worried about how good we are, because honestly, none of us are good. We are actually, Romans 3 says, we fall short every single time. So whether you can sing good or not is not an excuse. According to Colossians 3, it says it's a command. So when you sing, you obey. But second, when you sing, you build others up. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." So the question rises, is worship a lifestyle? Is worship something you do every single minute, every single second, every single waking moment of your day? And I would like to suggest that it in fact is. It's not something that you just come to Sunday on and you just sing and that's your worship. You don't worship the rest of the week. You don't worship in any aspect of your life other than Sunday. In fact, I would think that actually be kind of deadly to us in our growth, in our spiritual walk. Here, the word admonishing and singing and teaching, all those words are in the present tense with a continuous action, which means that we are a lifestyle of worship. Every single minute of our lives should be in worship to Jesus Christ. So when we come to Psalm 100, we find the rubric of how to worship God. We saw first that we can worship by serving. Second, we saw that we can worship, in fact, by singing. But finally today, let's look at how we can worship by submitting. We can worship by submitting. Verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Worship doesn't just happen on a Sunday, like I said. It's a lifestyle. It's a life of submission. Worship, really, honestly, is just an act of submission, of who we are as human, broken human beings in need of a rescuer. And we worship the God Almighty by submitting. It's a lifestyle, and it should be instinct if we are Christians. So, why is submission an act of worship? Well, first, because God made you. It says, "Know the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us." You know, so this whole summer, I'm here in the Grand Canyon with ACM and Peters, and it's just a great opportunity. And there's just been some days, we went out to this rock actually a couple of days ago, and we're playing some worship music, and it was a couple of me and my friends, and we were just looking at the sunrise. Not the sunrise, the sunset. It was evening. And the stars were coming out. The sunrise was beautiful. It was bouncing off the canyons. And just being my first time really experiencing a real sunrise in the canyon, it was just majestic. And if you have time in your schedule to do that, I really encourage you to go out there and just worship God by looking at just His creation. That same God, the same God who created the Grand Canyon, the same God who puts this earth in orbit, the same God who created the billions and billions of stars, the same God who puts every single thing into order, made you. And at the beginning of creation, He was thinking of you when He made you. And you are here for an exact purpose. God made you for an exact purpose. If God could put everything into motion, He can put the stars in the sky, He can make the sea just do what it does, He can the animals and everything, He can take care of you. So I would encourage you, if you come in today and you have a heavy heart and you find yourself in the midst of a trial and you're just really discouraged right now, I just really encourage you to just lean into the Lord and just really press into who He is. He loves you, He wants to know you, and He cares for you. Why? Because He made you. So we should submit to God because first, He made us. Second, why we should submit? Because He owns you. He made you and He owns you. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I think this is one of the best word pictures ever of just who we are in Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. It says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." Who you were before Christ was death. When you became saved, you became Christ's child. It is nothing but eternal life. We are slaves to Christ. The word doulos literally means we are slaves. We are owned by Christ. We are Christ's slave. And everything we should do should be an act of submission, an act of worship. Why? Because He owns us. A lot of people these days say, you know, I have a right to my body. I have a right to what I have to say. I have a right. I have a right. I have a right. Well, if we're Christians and we're saved, whether we're saved or not, actually, we are owned by God. And one day, according to Matthew chapter 12, every idle word will be made account for. See, we've been created and we're owned by a God, a jealous God, but a righteous God and a just God who will one day judge us for every single act, every single word that we've ever said. If you just let that sink in for a little bit, you know, you go through your day, those careless words that you say, that word that you didn't mean to hurt your friend or your family or your coworker or your employee, That word, one day, will be judged by the Almighty, perfect, completely just, completely righteous God. And we should be living an act of service, an act of submission, in a way that when we get to that throne room, we are not embarrassed. I heard it once. I was in a chapel, and it was really convicting. He said, like, there's like a PowerPoint right here. And he said, Stephen, I want you to go back there. And so he put me back in the back chair. And so then he said, imagine this PowerPoint coming down. It just comes right down to the middle. Every single word, every single action you've ever done, I'm going to play it right here on the screen. What would be the result? Would you be embarrassed? Or would you be happy? Or would you be proud of what you've done? Too often, I can say I'd be embarrassed of what I've done. But the reality is, it's not just something that's going to come down a projection screen. It's real. It's going to come. It's going to be fierce. And I really encourage you, if you don't know for sure whether or not those actions have been forgiven, those actions have been just washed away by the blood, and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you, before you leave this building today, I encourage you, grab the pastor. Grab anybody that you would trust. Grab myself. I would be more than willing or happy to lead you to the plan of salvation so you don't have to pay for an eternal death. Romans 6 says, before you are saved, all your actions are death. They lead to nothing but death. But once we are saved, once we have become in Christ, once we have become slaves, doulos, to Christ, all those actions now are righteous. We submit to God. Why? Because He made you. He owns you. Finally today, we submit because He guides you. Verse 3 says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I don't know how many of you guys know much about sheep, but sheep are not the smartest of animals. They're cute, but they're not very smart. This has been my senior year, our homeroom teacher, every single morning just had something to do, an illustration about sheep for some reason. So this just really helped me when this putting this together. He said that shepherds, when they have their stick, I always wonder, like, is it just like a decoration or something they just carry? You know, you see that in pictures often, the shepherd with the stick or whatever you want to call it, and it has that hook on the end. And I just thought that was just for show or whatever. They just carried it. Actually, no. I know some of you guys probably know where I'm going with this. But that hook there, when the sheep is going into the fold or going out of the fold or going somewhere dangerous or going somewhere he shouldn't go, somewhere that could hurt him, the shepherd would lovingly and kindly reach out that stick of protection and bring him back to the path of where he should be. You know, sometimes as Christians, as humans, we're broken. We're inherently sinful. We go off that path of righteousness. We do those things that ought not to be. And Paul says, I wish I would not do the things that I was not supposed to do and that I would do what would please you, but instead I don't do. You know, God, as He is just and righteous and one day will judge you for everything that you have done, He is loving and He loves you and He wants nothing but the best for you. And so when you go off the path of righteousness and you go off the path that God has for you, He reaches out His hand, and whether it's harshly, whether it's through just a conversation of a friend, a trial, or anything, He always brings His children back to Himself. He brings you back to that path of salvation. He brings you back to that path of righteousness. Here it says, we are like sheep, and we've gone astray. We're the sheep of His pasture. And that's comforting to know that we have a shepherd who loves us. A shepherd who knows us by name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. And that's just crazy. For every single person, He knows your name. He wants to know you. He cares for you. And He's going to guide you and bring you back to that path of safety. So, whatever you're going through, whatever you're coming to today, that burden that you bring, I encourage you to just give that to God. He wants to carry it for you, and He wants to bring you back to that path of peace. So, as we come to Psalm 100, we see that worship is a command. It's a lifestyle. We should be worshiping every waking moment, every breathing moment of our day. It's a constant state of being. Psalm 100 states that we can worship in three different ways. We can worship by serving, we can worship by submitting, and we can worship by singing. Do you have a desire to worship God? Do you have any desire whatsoever to submit, to serve, to sing? If not, if you have no desire whatsoever to worship the one who created you, to submit to the one who created you, then I really would encourage you to take a close look, a careful look in your soul, in your heart. Only you know, and only God know where you are and your standing with God. And I encourage you, if you have no passion at all, that you would really just search, and whether or not you're really part of the fold, one of his sheep. And if you're not, I encourage you to really get that taken care of today. Christian, whatever you're bringing here today, whatever trial, whatever temptation, whatever you bring today is not too big or too small for God. The God that made the canyon, made the stars, made you. He cares for you. He knows you. And he wants to carry you through. So Christian, I encourage you when you worship that you encourage other believers. This life is hard. God never promised it'd be easy. But we have each other. We have the Christian community. I encourage you to bind together and worship, as Colossians says, to admonish, to encourage one another. Worship is a lifestyle, not a one-shot activity. Worship is a lifestyle. Would you close with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being someone just so awesome who we can worship. We thank you so much for dying, sending your son, dying for us, taking our place. Where we should have died, we should have spent eternity in hell, but you took that for us. And for that person that is here today, that doesn't know for sure whether or not they're going to be spending eternity in heaven, that you would just really bring someone into our life to show them that God loves them and there's no sin too big, no sin too small to save them. For the Christian here that's stuck in a sin or stuck in a temptation or stuck in something too just seems so overbearing, that you would just be with them, you'd comfort them, you'd guide them, and that you'd bring them back onto the path of righteousness. And you'd be with every single person here today, that you'd be with them, keep us safe from the heat, and be with us with the rest of our day. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.